Good evening, good to see you. Let's pray. Lord, please do open our hearts to hear what you are saying to us as we look briefly at your word this evening. We pray that you'd use that to prepare us as we do business, but also to work in us for the sake of your glory in our lives in general. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. A Day with a Vicar. It's a book that belongs to our esteemed chairman, Dave, and also the vicar of this parish. There seems to be, from what I can work out, a children's book introducing kids to what people do during the day, in this case to what a vicar does during the day. I can't imagine this was the best-selling one of the series. The list inside the cover includes a day with a footballer, a day with an oil rig worker, and a day with a racing driver. So I can just imagine a grandparent buying a present for their grandchild thinking, book, perfect. Race car driver, professional footballer, maybe. The vicar, that's what they want to read. You can see the child's face when they open it as well. Anyway, at any rate, someone bought this book, and at a look through it, you see this vicar here with the impressive beard, John Driver. He has a lot on in his day. As you read the things that he was doing, he did things from visiting, taking services, community connections, meetings with teams and with committees, preparation. There was so much to do. And that's what we find in ministry often, isn't it? There's just so much to do. For those of us who are in vocational ministry, there's so much to do. One of the most common things you'll hear when ministers of the gospel gather together and speak to each other is they'll say, where am I going to find the time? Or what am I? I'm just running out of time to get things done. For committed lay people, there's so much to do as you seek to serve the church on top of an already busy life, as part of an already busy life. So much to do. And sometimes you wonder, am I doing the right things when there's so much to do? How do I decide what to do and what not to do when there's so much to do? Well, Jesus knows what it's like to have so much to do. The second half of chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, we see a record of an incredibly big day that Jesus had. Jesus was in the town of Capernaum, and he was in a synagogue there in the morning, and he was teaching in that synagogue. And then after teaching, that led him to the position where he was driving out a demon from someone in that synagogue. From the synagogue, he went to the home of Simon, his disciple, and he found out that Simon's mother-in-law was very, very ill. And so he healed her. And by sunset, the word had well and truly got around about what he was doing, the things he could do. And so he had people with various sicknesses and dark forces tormenting them. He had them flocking to him. And he went around laying hands on each and healing their sicknesses, casting out demons. It was a huge day. There was so very much to do beyond what we could imagine, I think. But when we read, and when we get to verse 42, we read this, verse 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. See, after that very big day, Jesus took time away, probably to pray, as he often did. The people came looking for him. They wanted to stop him from leaving. Evidently, there was still so much to do. So much good that Jesus could continue to do in Capernaum. There was more to do. The people wanted him to come and to keep doing it. But his response was, I have to go. Why? Why could he possibly have to leave when he's been doing such extraordinary good things and there's still more to do there? Well, he tells us the answer in verse 43, didn't he? I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. What Jesus had been doing in Capernaum was extraordinarily good, and there was still plenty to do, but he shows us here by what he says that there was one thing that was supremely important. He had to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That, he says, is why I've come. His agenda, above all, is to proclaim the good news, the gospel of God's kingdom. We must not miss that, because what Jesus had been doing, healing, casting out demons, it was incredibly good, but this proclaiming, he says, is even more important. He had so much to do, but there was one thing he must do. Proclaim the gospel. Preach the word, the message. And indeed, at the end of the same gospel, the end of Luke, Jesus gives his disciples a kind of primary mission just before he leaves them to ascend to his Father. And that primary mission, well, it wasn't healing, it wasn't casting out demons, it wasn't even social change or committees or agendas or politics, good as some of those things are. And indeed, in one way or another, Jesus' first disciples were involved in all of them or something similar to them in one way or another. Jesus' disciples had so much to do with the start of a new church and the pressures that came from that and the responsibilities they were given. They had so much to do. But look at what Jesus says to them in Luke chapter 24. I'll put it up on the screen. Verses 46 to 48. Jesus says, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Do you see what Jesus is doing here? This repentance for the forgiveness of sins, which is on the basis of his suffering for sin and his rising again, that message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins on his suffering and rising had to be preached to all nations. And they were the witnesses. So they were the ones who saw it. So it was their task, their priority to go and preach this message as witnesses of what they had seen of Jesus' death and resurrection and what that meant for the world. And indeed, that is what those first disciples made their priority. They had so much to do, but one thing they did above all, one thing they knew they must do. They had to preach the word. They had to preach this message. Because that was Jesus' primary agenda, and it was the agenda he gave them. But he didn't give it just to them. It was passed on also to us. See, those first disciples handed down instructions to those who were going to succeed them and continue the message. The first witnesses were unique. The first generation of Jesus' followers were unlike any other generation since, but they passed on instructions to us. Indeed, through them, Jesus passed on his instructions to us. And one very important place where that happens is the book of 2 Timothy, where the apostle Paul gives what are in some ways his sort of last will and testament, his words he wants ringing in the ears of Timothy, one of the ministers of his church. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, which if you did want to look on the blue Bibles is page 1199, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says this: "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." The one thing Paul leaves Timothy with, ringing in his ears, preach the word in season, out of season, whether people want to hear it or don't want to hear it. In fact, especially when they don't want to hear it, keep preaching the word, because preaching the gospel is the right response to hard hearts just as much as it's the right response to soft hearts here. Preach it with patience. Preach it with care. Endure hardships as you do, but keep preaching the word, Timothy. And so it is for us, who are very much in Timothy's shoes at one level or another. Like Timothy, we have so much to do. But Jesus gave one thing we must do. For those of us in vocational ministry, like our friend John Driver, the vicar from the book, we do have so much to do, don't we? There are so many pressures, from pastoral crises to visits, to newcomers to follow up, vestry meetings to organise, committees to look after, admin that needs doing, in some cases a staff to look after, services to plan, funerals and weddings that pop up, community events to attend, not to mention synods, archdeaconries, AGMs. There is so much to do. And of course, there are people that we need to keep happy, aren't there? People who have so many expectations from us. People who we need to keep on side, who sometimes we're desperate to keep on side so that they'll like us and appreciate us. But there is one thing we must do. We must preach the gospel. Preach the word. Whether our congregations see it as a priority or not, we must do it. Whether people like us for it or not, we must do it. And half an hour on a Saturday night in preparation is not going to cut the mustard if we're going to preach it with great patience and careful instruction. We must prioritize preaching the word, because that was above all the one thing Jesus knew he must do. The one thing above all he told his first disciples they must do. And the one thing above all those disciples passed on to ministers like Timothy and like us that we must do. We must preach the word in and out of season. And we mustn't let it get squeezed out or minimized or neglected because of other good or very important things that we're asked to do. Jesus has made that very clear. We must preach the word. And so too for us who are not in vocational ministry, but are faithfully serving the church as lay people whilst carrying on in our other walks of life as well. Jesus has made it clear what we must do as a church. So we must keep that at the front of our minds as we support our churches, as we support our vicars and ministry teams, and keep encouraging them to keep preaching the word above all, not to get distracted. As we keep on with it ourselves, lay people, whether it's as lay preachers or Sunday school teachers or Bible study leaders, Bible in schools, or the various support ministries that make it possible for the word to be preached week in and week out. As we do these things, we must keep seeking to make sure the word is preached by our churches, not letting anything distract us from that or squeeze it out. Because there is so much to do, but there is one thing we must do. And it is a wonderful thing. It's preaching the word of the saving death and resurrection of the Savior Jesus, the one true hope for the world, for the forgiveness and release of sin and all the darkness sin brings. This is a wonderful word, and that is what we must preach. So may God continue to help us to do it. Amen.